Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
There is a problem in the Middle East. Mad Islamists.
We're close today to 2,000 rockets have been fired from Gaza on our cities.
Utter just destruction. Everything's been destroyed. I'm just overwhelmed.
Fighting for Idaho.
Harry Reid lives in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C. And I'm sure from his perspective, the border seems secure. President Obama and Harry Reid, both divorced from the facts and divorced from the reality.
Fighting for you.
Here we have a few members of the establishment who are trying to say, we know what you did at the convention. But forget that. Go enjoy your beer, ride your ATV, and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Remember who your friends are.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Don't forget, coming up on Friday, we'll be at Lionheart Tactical. That's on State Street right by Merritt's, right by that tanning place. Yeah, you can't miss it on State Street. 5 to 9, we're celebrating Lionheart Tactical's grand opening. We're going to have free scones for Merritt's. I think Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, says he's going to be there. I know Tea Party Bob is going to be there. We need to get Tony there. Tony Sinesco, Greg Pruitt, and you, Two Fly Bry, I believe, will be there as well. Perhaps even the All-Star panel will join us. So we want a big, big turnout. And we'll talk primarily about the Second Amendment and other big issues. But remember, Lionheart Tactical is on West 8th Street, owned and operated by a disabled veteran, and sells only what experience and trial has proven to work. That's Friday, July 25th. And remember, store-wide savings until 8 o'clock. And I know a lot of people are looking for ammo. Stop by and store up or load up. We're joined now by our great friend, Senator Russ Fulcher, here at 580 KIDO. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. I'm ready to load up, Kevin.
I'm glad you are. So before we get to a couple things, I want to get your reaction to something that you have been fighting about and fighting for. And this was a big decision by two courts yesterday. Let's take a listen from our own Jim Angle at 580 KIDO.
A D.C. Court of Appeals said the federal government was mistaken in rewriting the health care law to allow for subsidies in the federal exchanges when the law specifically limited them to the state-run exchanges. That means millions of people in the federal exchanges would lose subsidies, and since insurance might be too expensive, they'd be exempted from the individual mandate. The same applies to employers who wouldn't face penalties if their employees didn't. Another appeals court reached the opposite conclusion, so the administration plans an appeal to the entire 11-member D.C. court, which is loaded with Democrats. The administration hopes will side with it. In Washington, Jim Angle, Fox News Radio.
Boy, what a mess.
Yeah, what a mess. We did see that coming, Kevin, and that's for those of us who argued in opposition to voluntarily bringing in that state exchange. That was one of the things that we foresaw that could happen. I'm referring to the D.C. ruling. And the other translation to that is that if the D.C. ruling stands, it's my understanding that it would only be those states who voluntarily engage with the exchange that would be subject to those individual mandates and penalties. So to that end, I remain further convinced that it was the wrong decision to make, and my position on that hasn't changed.
How, if any way, can this decision impact Idaho? Or do we all just stand by and kind of continue on until this goes once again back to the U.S. Supreme Court?
I don't think that we do. I think that, I shouldn't say that's not what we won't do, but I believe the appropriate path is to start unwinding that like we should have in the first place. And, we got a legislative session coming up here, and I think this is a very good time to communicate with the legislators that, hey, look, it's clear this was a mistake. It's clear that we should not have gone down this path. Let's put ourselves back into some degree of control. This whole health exchange mess has been a mess since its inception. There's nothing that's gone right with it. It's costing us money. It's costing us control. Let's unwind this thing, and let's join the other 36 states or whatever that number is. I think it's 36 that has chosen to take another path.
Well, let's talk about you, Senator. You ran a great campaign. People love you. You are known statewide, and now you're name keeps circulating as the next chairman of the GOP. Your thoughts on the current situation, and have you reconsidered perhaps being the new chairman?
Well, no, I haven't, and because I really never considered that in the first place. I don't know, Kevin, honestly, that I am the right person for that. It's not that I can't do the job. It's not that I'm not willing to do the job. But the reality is that I'm the guy who challenged the sitting governor from the same party. And that has a certain percentage of folks upset. And until there is a bridge that we can mutually cross there and re-engage, I don't know that I'm, in the eyes of some, the most appropriate person to pull everyone together. And but that said, I probably am part of the solution in some fashion. And frankly, I think what needs to happen is that if the governor and the chairman, the current chairman, Barry, and maybe a couple of others, myself possibly, a couple other people of influence within the party right now need to probably go sit down in a room and figure out, okay, who is somebody we can jointly agree on as leadership, and then you just go get behind that person or people and work our way out of this mess. But it's probably not me. I'm certainly not lobbying for that. Would I do it if there was a unified push behind that? Yeah, I would, but that's really not the path that I'm trying to take, nor do I think it's a likely path.
Well, on the other hand, I mean, you have a life. You've given a lot, you know, and maybe it's time for you to get back to some normal things. And, you know, that chairman's job, we love Barry. Barry listens every day. But that seems like a thankless job.
You know, it's a difficult job. And most people don't realize that that not only do you not get paid, but you spend a lot of money because you're responsible for using your own resources to travel around the state, which is I can tell you, over the course of a year or a course of an election cycle, a term, is a very expensive proposition with hotels and gas and time. And then to the national committee meetings around the country. Those are all things that you need to pick up the tab for yourself. And, you know, although, you know, that's you know, certainly achievable, there is a cost, and it is a form of service. And I can tell you, after just completing a statewide gubernatorial race, it is not one that is easy. It is not one that is cheap. And you have to have your heart into these types of things, or you shouldn't get involved in the first place. And if you're not going in with a servant's heart, in my opinion, you shouldn't be going in at all.
Now, I don't know if you've completed your listening tour. You started the campaign even before the campaign. You announced here at 580KIDO that you would go on a listening tour. And then after the campaign, you said that you would revisit that. I don't know if you've had a chance to hear from your constituents, both people that voted for you and those that didn't.
Well, first of all, I am so incredibly blessed because, yes, I've about two-thirds of the way through it. I've gone from my hometown, Meridian North, all the way up to Sandpoint, Bonners Ferry, and then back down. And then last weekend, I started working through the south, southeast, and was in Pocatello, Twin Falls, Buell here last Saturday, I think it was. And then this coming weekend, a little bit further down into Rexburg, Idaho Falls. And, you know, Kevin, I'm doing that because I have not felt that a thank you card is an adequate extension of appreciation to these people who work so hard. And honestly, I didn't know that anybody would even show up. All we were doing is we're just posting out, I'm going to be here at such and such a time, here at such and such a time. We're doing that mainly doing social media, a little bit of email, and every single place, every single stop, it's been heavily supported, and it truly is incredibly humbling. I can't believe these folks, after a guy loses, would still come and spend a little time with them and talk. And that's all we do. We just get together and talk. We talk about what you and I are talking about. We talk about the party. We talk about policy. We talk about, okay, what's next moving forward. And so I'm not done. Another week, a week and a half, I think we'll finish things up. But, man, what an honor. What an honor, and what incredible people we have in this state. I'm just so impressed.
I'm with you. Russ Fulcher with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. So let's take a little look at the anger. And before we do that, what do you say to people that may not be engaged? You know, we've been playing this Chris Troupas clip for quite some time.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, you gave it your all. Your volunteers gave it your all. And then we still have a report that primary voting was down 1.5% in Idaho. How do we get people actively engaged, whether they're libs, conservatives, libertarians, whomever? You've been directly involved in the process. Is the way we vote broken, or how do we fix the low turnout?
Well, I think what we're seeing is, for lack of a better term, it's an injury of excellence. And what I mean by that is when things are so good for so long, comparatively speaking, right, compared to some other nations, third world countries with just complete government turmoil. But when things are relatively good, then that promotes in the mind of many an apathetic attitude. And that's what's happened in this country. And that combined with just the lack of knowledge that how important one vote can potentially be, I think, has just kept a lot of people out of the process. And then there's another percentage of folks, and I run into all these folks, or I have on the campaign trail, where they're just so frustrated, they're so disgusted, they're just so disenfranchised with the system, they don't want any part of it. And I think this year, with our campaign, we touched a number of those, and we drove home the message that, yeah, you can make a difference, and they did. But it's an educational thing, it's an attitude, and there's a prerequisite, Kevin, to this republic. And for a successful republic to continue, it has to be with an involved people. And when an involved people don't engage, then you get what you get. So, if there is a silver lining in some of the negative things going on, it is that more and more people are coming to the conclusion that, wait a minute, I've got to get engaged now. And hate to say that is the cause, but that's happening.
Is it an issue, perhaps, of reaching the apathy? You know, going back to Chris Troupas' clip, you know, watch your sports, the beer in the fridge, the gas in the four-wheeler, and saying, look, your fuel taxes may go up. There may be an internet tax. You're going to pay more for health care. You're not going to be able to drive that boat. And somehow bringing that message home, which is really nonpartisan.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I think you bring up a very good point. I mean, people don't realize how important something is to them till they lose it. And when you start losing control over your health care, and the form comes like it did in my house of, yeah, I got to fill out all this detail and submit it for my dependents. And holy cow, the government is going to have a record of this? Yeah. Yeah, they are. Now, when they go to the gas pump and either A, can't get gas, or it's $4 plus, hey, wait a minute. What in the world is causing that? Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. And so to that end, it's really unfortunate that it takes things like that, but to the extent we can educate folks, look, this is the elections have ramifications, and inaction has ramifications, and so folks, you got to engage, and if you don't, you get what you deserve in that sense, and so please engage, be part of the system. You're a critical piece of it. We need you.
More coming up with our great friend, Senator Fulcher. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We'll get back to what he sees as big issues coming up before the election, his thoughts on the governor, his thoughts on the Republican ticket and the grassroots and the establishment. Can't we all just get along? Oh, I know that's cliche-ish, but it's early. Let's get you to work safely and on.
We knew going into this that it was going to be a mess. What we predicted from day one, it was supposed to cost less, and turns out it doesn't cost less, and it was supposed to work right away, and turns out it doesn't work right away.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller. 580 KIDO.
And isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic? The state of Idaho is trying to prop up Obamacare, because that's exactly what is going on here. We shouldn't be putting another dime into this thing. We shouldn't be putting another man hour into this thing. It is failing. Let's let it fail, and let's put an alternative in place that will really work.
It's like rain.
KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Our friend Senator Fulcher with us trying to really figure out the problems of the world. Hey, what was it like when you were running for office and everybody from Tea Party Bob to Idaho Steve Ackerman to, well, Kevin Miller would give you advice. Do you ever get tired of, well, you know, you really should do this. You really should do that.
You know, I got a lot of advice, and frankly, I needed it all because, you know, it's a massive undertaking to take on a statewide campaign, and nobody, myself included, has a monopoly on wisdom. And so I was seeking wisdom and seeking advice from all over, and I got it. I was hoping for counsel on policy, and
right.
A lot of my counsel came in on political strategy. So, but it's good either way. It's never bad to have too much counsel.
You know, people talk about that this is a political thing, but is this a political fight, or is it interpersonal communication? Like people have disagreements at work or at home when you're talking about the establishment and the grassroots. You're part of this. Why can't Barry Peterson stay on? Why can't people get together? You know, why do you, who, you know, is pretty much enjoying his life, have to come back into the fold?
Here's the deal. The split between the Republicans is in part, it's identified because everyone on both sides tend to agree on what the problems are, but they disagree on what the solutions are. And that's where the rub has come in. And frankly, that was the situation that prompted my run for governor. Man, I believe in this. I think we have the same problems that the governor does. But how we address those, and perhaps with the level of aggression that we address them, was really what was at issue. When you take and you expand this debate between what's really happening between the Republicans and the Democrats and what we're facing in November, the Republicans and the Democrats disagree on what the problems are in the first place. Generally speaking, the Republicans are going to say that the problem is too much government, and generally speaking, the Democrats are going to say the problem is not enough government. And so there's a small divide within the Republican body. There's a large divide between Republicans and Democrats, which is what's building up to November. So back to your question, what do we do? We have to look each other. I'm talking about the Republicans. We got to look each other in the eye and come to the agreement that, look, folks, okay, we do disagree on the solutions, but we know what the problems are. So let's start working on the solutions and let's come up with some policy ideas. There's a dislike between some of these folks. But the reality is, hey, you don't have to be able to, you don't have to like somebody to work with them. You don't have to like somebody to come to a solution with them. And so, all right, we don't have to like each other. Let's just go figure this thing out. We got the best solutions. Let's find them. Let's go.
Senator Fulcher with us, Kay Melly in the morning here at 580 KIDO. All right. Do you believe that there'll be a move to raise the fuel tax coming up in the legislature?
Yes, I do. I think there's going to be a move to raise the fuel tax. I think there's going to be a move to increase taxes for education. I think there's going to be a move to expand Medicaid. And those probably are going to be the items front and center. And I'm relatively certain on that because the wheels are in motion with some of the supporters of those issues right now to touch on the incoming freshman legislators already. So, yeah, those wheels are in motion.
What do you make of that, though, the impact it'll be to raise fuel taxes? We already have some of the highest in the country because we have, what, the refinery in Salt Lake, and then we have some fuel that comes in from Montana. Everybody's impacted, whether you're Pat from Middleton driving your lawn mowing business or, you know, our friend Rance who sells advertisement here. I mean, everybody uses their car.
Yeah, you know, I've never seen long-term benefit from increasing government burden. And that's all we're doing. You know, I think I used this on your show months ago, but my parents grew up in this same area. I'm fourth generation here, and some time back we came across an old tax return from the 1940s, and you had a combined tax burden of single digits, Kevin. And now we all know exactly where we're at. So in one generation, we have migrated from a single digit tax burden where you're largely responsible for yourself, you're largely in charge of your own destiny, and you largely are in control of your money, to a system where over half, by the time we pay all of our fees, our taxes, our licenses, all the things you don't see, more than half of what we earn goes to the government, and we let the government make those decisions. Where do you draw that line? So when this argument gets made, hey, we just got to raise the gas tax a little, just got to raise education funding taxes just a little, got to raise the Medicaid tax just a little. Well, what is just a little? The path needs to be reversed. You trigger prosperity by putting that control of those monies back into the hands of the people. We should be going just the other way. We reverse that trend. We keep the money in the hands of the people. People will spend it. If you have money, you are going to spend it, or you're going to invest it. Either way, it's a win for the economy. And when the economy grows, the transportation funding issue solves itself.
Right.
Yes. Tax, the transport, or the education funding issue solves itself. You don't see these debates in Texas and in North Dakota the way that we have them here. They have the money to take care of those needs because their economy is growing, people are keeping their money, and they're pumping it back into the economy.
Well, and final thought for you, again, if you get a chance to speak with the governor or Barry, I know Barry, you can speak directly right now. Barry listens every day. We love Barry. But if you get a chance to speak to these folks, what's the plan to make sure that the kids continue to stay here like you want your kids to do, as opposed to a lot of people that, I mean, this is like the Midwest where people get a great education and they have to leave because there are no jobs.
Gentlemen, we have the tools. We have all the assets that we need. We have all the ingredients to blow the doors off this economy. Let's go sit down. Let's go grab a cup of hot chocolate. Let's determine who we can agree on for our leadership moving forward, and let's go about the business of growing this state. Let's go about the business of making it the place that we all know that it can be. Let's keep our kids here, and let's expose those opportunities so that Idaho is the destination for economic growth. Idaho is the place where people want to be. We can do that. We can do that now.
Senator Fulcher, to be continued. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right. Senator Fulcher with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, really talking about jobs. And this is where, you know, we're kind of torn. We could share with you our interview with Mike Simpson. We'll probably do that tomorrow. Why don't we do this? Let's talk about a few issues that impact our pocketbook. How about the idea of a fuel tax? Now, I know a lot of people down there on Bannock are not going to be happy with me, but we're not here for the Bannock crowd. We're here for you at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Whether you're our friend Gene from CUNA, Pat from Middleton, Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, or I'm trying to think of somebody else, or Rebecca that works at Albertsons, or Big Mike that works at Walmart. We all drive our cars. Heck, I'm telling you about the Prius I'm driving and saving a ton of money from Peterson Toyota. Is it time to go to vehicles like this? And the idea of if you drive an electric car, now governments, the feds and the states, are going to whack you anyway because you've become too efficient. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? And oh, by the way, Oregon, coming up in November, they're looking at legalizing recreational marijuana. Are you down with that? And should Idaho join the dope brigade? Those thoughts, always welcome at 580-5436. You can always reach me on Facebook and Twitter at 580KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
News. Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. This is an issue that will hit all of us. And the idea, and look, we all know why the politicians there on Bannock didn't bring it up during the last session, because it was an election year. And here we go. Now, once again, the phone will be ringing. I'll get in trouble, but I wouldn't be doing my job serving you if I didn't get in trouble, because you're not going to have people until it gets in the paper, and then it'll be too late. We all know, and Senator Fulcher talked about it, The wheels are turning. There are meetings going on, I kid you not, where you're having the big consortium meeting, and people are saying, how do we sell a higher fuel tax to you in Idaho, to here in the Treasure Valley? Well, and how about this? People have become so efficient with their electric cars, with their hybrids, now people are looking to government. Government is looking to tax those folks because they're not paying their fair share. Well, you drive a big vehicle, you're going to consume more gas, right? Why do you penalize people for being more efficient? To the phones at 580-5436, we start with Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I am living the dream.
You hit on one of my tender subjects here today, taxes.
You're a tender guy.
You know, if you remember, Kevin, last year the governor had a meeting with the road construction industry leaders about how to determine if we need more money spent on our infrastructure. And he got them to pay for a survey for $45,000 that one of the colleges here in Idaho did. What really came out of that meeting was the governor saying the most important thing is getting me elected, if you remember that. The survey was done. It was completed. And two-thirds of the people surveyed said the roads were just fine. We always need work on our rural roads, but with the harsh winters we get, we got to expect that, especially in the mountains. I think the point here is, why not try to find out how we can cut some taxes instead of adding more taxes? You know, many of these road projects are make-do work. Let's get the construction guys busy. Let's keep things going. The next question is, why didn't the governor support getting rid of the grocery tax? Here's a bill that was brought to the House floor with 30 sponsors. We know why,
because it was Senator Fulcher's bill.
Well,
and that's just good politics.
No, it's not good politics for the people of Idaho. This is how they keep screwing us. You know,
right, but back to the road tax issue. You know, you're an activist. You know that sooner or later we're going to see these lobbying efforts. Didn't that survey come out and the majority of the people, as you said, voted no for this?
Over two-thirds.
Two-thirds of the people that were represented in this poll said, we don't want the gas taxes going up. Let's have some solutions instead of taking more money from the folks.
They don't want to listen to the people. Yeah. They don't care about the people. They only care about the cronies and making sure that they get their money. Well, you got people in Idaho taking 2 and 3 jobs on so they can support their families. What's going to happen when they raise the gas tax again or the registration fees? You know, there is no real answer to this problem. As you get more and more efficient cars, and we go down the road, so to speak, you're going to have less and less money towards the gas tax, and they're going to have to find some kind of alternatives to work around that. But how about just cutting the cost?
Well, you could take a look at that, but according to the survey, more than a quarter of those surveyed said Idaho's roads and bridges would be completely inadequate in 10 years, while nearly half said the roads and bridges would be somewhat inadequate. Only 1 in 10, they would strongly support increasing the gas tax.
Well, so why are we looking at a gas tax?
Well, look.
That's my question to this administration. You know, now that the governor is running for office, he's going to have to sit down and detail that to the people, or he's not going to get an office.
We will talk about it.
We certainly
will. I know you're a big fan of the governor.
Oh, yes, absolutely. He's right on my top of my list.
I'm sure you're on his list, too.
Listen, I've been on his list for a long time.
Well, at least you made a list.
You're there, too, buddy.
Tea Party Bob, thank you, brother. We'll see you Friday and Saturday.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Don't forget Lionheart Tactical. We'll be there Friday. It's on State Street. Free scones for Merritt's. Tea Party Bob has RSVP'd. Two Fly Bry has RSVP'd. I think Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, will be there as well. So we'll have a big Second Amendment debate panel. But here you go. According to Wayne Hammond, the governor's former budget chief, and now the executive director of the Idaho Association of General Contractors, telling the Washington Times, quote, the easiest solution is to double the gas tax. Well, that is clearly not going to be palatable. Maybe we look at other things. You also have people saying that the legislators need to own this. So if you're someone who voted for the health exchange, if you're someone who voted for, did the flip-flop on that, are you willing to stick it to the folks one more time? And, you know, the roads do need fixing, but isn't that what the general fund is for? And I see all these federal projects going on. I see 84 being cut in half. I see Chinden Road being chopped up bit after bit. I don't know about you. I do know about you. I'm sick of the orange cans everywhere. And I'm sick of just watching people. Now, a lot of those folks, they're out there working hard. On the other hand, how many times do you go after mile after mile after mile, particularly in Winnemucca, and you just see the orange cones? Oh, it's so frustrating. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Going back to this survey, 1 in 10 would strongly support increasing the gas tax. And should people be penalized if you have an electric vehicle? We go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Patriot Ray.
Good morning. You know, it's stick it to the people. Every time you get a chance, we're going to give the freebies to everybody who doesn't deserve it, and we're going to take it from the ones who actually work. And you know, this is getting to be a maddening situation throughout our whole period of life here. We got a president who announces that we need to raise gas prices. It necessarily has to happen. He wants to raise electrical prices, so what's he going to do? They're going to shut down coal-fired plants. They're going to penalize those who buy electric vehicles, who try to conserve. They're going to want to track your mileage so they can tax you per mile.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's more than crazy. It's communism at its best. And they can say socialism, whatever, but socialism is just a beginning for communism. And we are going to become a third world nation if the American people don't wake up and say enough is enough. We cannot keep taxing people who are prosperous, who are trying to do right. You can't tax those who open up businesses so heavily where they can't hire people. They want to, but they can't.
Well, take a look at Ray Jr. He's out there. He uses his vehicle. Take a look at Pat from Middleton. I mean, we all use our vehicles, but those folks that's part of their gig, prices are going to go up, inflation's going to go up. Look, beef is the highest it's been in years.
Absolutely. And, you know, I drive to my work every day. I have 27 buildings that I'm in charge of with another mechanic, and we both take care of the buildings, but we travel from building to building, and we're getting taxed to the hilt, you know, and we've got to have our vehicles to do the work that we need to do to take care of things. So everybody is getting hurt by this, and those people, and you know what? It's the ones who are the poorest among us who are getting hurt the worst. Until they get the handouts. And then they say, well, this isn't so bad. It's not bothering me now. But they can't afford to buy a vehicle. They can't afford to really go to a show. I mean, my wife and I, we wait to go to the dollar theater if we're going to go to the movies. And we don't get to do it that often. We don't have cable. We don't have all this garbage they keep putting up. So here we are. I mean, the American public is being taken advantage of once again. And it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republicans too, because somebody has to finally say in our leadership, we've had enough. We cannot keep doing this to the people. We cannot keep our debt growing so much. Somewhere along the line, we're going to be another Greece.
Well, and that's the scary part, where we're just printing money.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the false economy that we have, we'd have no economy. And you know that.
Patriot so. Ray, God bless.
Stay fired up. Thank you. Take care and God bless you.
All right, our friend Patriot Ray, by the way, happy anniversary to Patriot Ray and Mrs. Patriot Ray. They'll be celebrating that this weekend. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller. And look, these are the lazy days of summer, and maybe some of the politicians see you out in your boat. Now, there has to be some type of statistic that in Idaho, per capita, we have the state with the largest 450s, 350s, 250s. Certainly not the pencil neck geeks like Kevin Miller driving in his Prius. Yeah, but I'm not paying for the gas, am I? And you know what you see. You see politicians going, well, you can have that boat. You can have that RV. Surely you can afford to pay more taxes on your gas. But to double it? Now, are we really going to see that return on investment? Do you believe that the state, the city, ACHD in their infinite wisdom would ever spend your money as effectively as you would? Of course not. But as we talk about this, you could say, I heard it first with Kevin Miller. The politicians are looking to take more from your pocket when we're talking about the gas tax. would you be comfortable paying, what is it in Idaho, 3 cents up to 6 cents per gallon, or is it 6 cents up to 12 cents per gallon? It's bad enough that we get ripped off when it comes to, well, the national average is $3.55. You're paying $3.75. Yes, well, but when it lowers, it stays lower long enough. Yeah. Why do we deal with the inefficient system? Shouldn't we come together and try and solve problems instead of just accepting their limitations? Time for traffic now with Robin at 5.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:58, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll talk about an internet sales tax. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Oh, my goodness. What it means to your pocketbook coming up after Fox News. First, Dave is out. He's on vacation. God bless. Hey, it's Kevin Miller, and whether you're just hanging out in the bed, in the car, at work, we've got another hour coming up. If you miss any hour of the Kevin Miller Show, I've got a little secret for you. 580kido.com podcast. Podcast. Everything you need. Very short, very concise. 580kido, the Kevin Miller podcast. Check them out. Serving Meridian.